Welcome to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues the Empowered series with a message titled Spiritual Language, The Truth About Tongues. Now here's Pastor Ray.
If you would, take your Bible, whatever form you have that Bible in. It might be a hard copy, it might be from your smartphone or your tablet. If you don't have any of those, then it will be on the screen as well. We just want you to have the Word of God accessible to you. And I want you to find Acts chapter 2. We're going to read in a moment verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is what I would call the apex of Pentecostal theology. Pentecostal is a description of the theology that we embrace as a church. And basically what I'm going to read in this section is the Pentecostal theology, the full work of the Holy Spirit, including everything that that means. And so this is kind of the high point of that for a lot of people, and we're going to talk about that today as we look into God's Word. We're in this series, if you're new today, we're in a series, this is about the seventh week, on the Holy Spirit. We're learning about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and what relevance that has for our lives today. I don't know about you, but I have immensely enjoyed my own series. I actually listened to one of my sermons. I rarely do that, and I listened to one of them, and I really thought, why would people come back and listen to me a second time? I mean, it's just like, oh, wow. But I have been really learning a lot about something that I've grown up with. I've been in a Pentecostal theology church, Pentecostal church, all of my life. And so I've hung around the Holy Spirit for a long time. But in this series, I've been digging deeper, and I've been inviting the Holy Spirit to just consume me, to indwell me. And I'm trying to yield as best I know how to that. And I think it's making a difference. I sense that God is working in me, and I feel this vital intimacy with the Spirit of God like I've never felt before. And I hope that's your testimony as well as we've been on this journey together. So let's look at the Word of God today, and we're going to talk about tongues, speaking in tongues. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let's talk about tongues this morning. Some of you have been waiting for this. We're going to talk about speaking in tongues, or what some now have termed spiritual language. I like that phrase because I think it takes away some of the intimidation and some of the maybe recoiling that people have about what has been conjured in their minds as it relates to speaking in tongues. We now live in a post-biblical culture. And I think we need to find language, common language, or inviting language in order to invite people into this reality of the Holy Spirit and show them how they too can be a part of this. And so I will sometimes use the word tongue or speaking in tongues or spiritual language in this sermon today, and they all mean the same thing. So we're going to talk about that today. And so what I want to do is I want to begin with a framework. I want to give you a four-part framework for what we will talk about in a few moments. And we're going to start with this. Number one, tongues is God's idea. Number one, it starts here. This is foundational. Underscore this above all else that you will hear today. Speaking in tongues is God's idea. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 that it was the Father's pleasure to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. The gift of the Holy Spirit, which is described or has been described in the verses that we just read, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence or the expression of tongues that went along with it. This was God's idea. It didn't start with Amy Simple McPherson. It didn't start with Catherine Kuhlman. It didn't start with Benny Hinn or Benny Hill or Ray Noah. This is not man's idea. This is God's idea. Can you say amen to that? Amen. This is God's idea, tongues. God's idea. Case dismissed. Class over. Hashtag boom. This is God's idea. So we got to start there. Nothing else will make sense about this if we don't embrace that. This came from God. Secondly, tongues was first introduced by Jesus, not by anyone else other than Jesus Christ himself, God's Son, the Lord of the church. He's the one that first talked about speaking in tongues. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will speak in new tongues." Speaking in tongues was one of five miraculous signs that Jesus gave that he said would identify believers, his followers. Five miraculous signs, and tongues was one of those. Number three, tongues was the first of those signs, the first of those five signs, to be fulfilled at the birth of the church in the book of Acts. We just read it in Acts chapter 2 in verse 4. "And they spoke with other tongues." Before anything else happened, this is what they did. It's the first sign to be fulfilled at the birth of the church. Now think about this. The church was born speaking in tongues. The church was born speaking in tongues. The first cry, the first utterance, the first breath, the first words of the church came in the form of speaking in tongues. And then number four, the fourth part of this framework to summarize it all, our framework for talking about speaking in tongues is this. The Father promised it. The Son prophesied it. The Spirit produced it. The church appropriated it. And the Bible promotes it. Throughout the New Testament, this is promoted. And really early on in church history, it was promoted for the first, second, and third centuries of the church. This was fully embraced. And only after people became too familiar with it and they began to neglect it, that did it fall into disuse or disrepair. So whether we've experienced spiritual language or not, and by the way, in this church, we have, and I don't know the percentage of people, but we have a significant number of people who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in spiritual language. They have a spiritual language. And we have a significant number of people who have not had that experience, which I think is really a wonderful thing. There are people that are from non-Pentecostal traditions that now are part of Portland Christian Center, and that wouldn't have happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, because non-Pentecostals looked at Pentecostals as really weird, and kind of they were, but things have changed, and so now people are accepting this theology even if they haven't experienced it, and so we have a number of people who have become a part of this church who have not come into that Pentecostal experience, not yet. So whether we've experienced spiritual language or not, can we just admit it is biblically important? I mean, say yes. Otherwise, this sermon is going to be really awkward. I'm going to have to get a drink here. Sorry about that. Pardon me. Just visit among yourself here while I do this. Given all that I just said, these four things, which I think we all would agree are true, given that, I think we must admit that this doctrine of tongues is biblically important. It's important to God. It's important to Jesus. It's important to the Holy Spirit. It was important to the first church. It is important. Now, that doesn't give us the mechanic of tongues. Why God gave tongues, why God ordained it. It doesn't talk about what tongues does for us. It doesn't talk about how or when we get it. It doesn't talk about where tongues are to operate in the life of the believer, in the life of the church, but it does show the importance of spiritual language, speaking in tongues, to God. And so, in light of that, I would just say that on the one hand, if you have ever mocked speaking in tongues, if you have rejected it, if you have dismissed it, or on the other hand, If you do speak in tongues and you've used it as a source of pride, or maybe you've abused it or misused it, or maybe it's fallen into neglect in your life. Either way, because of the importance of this doctrine, this experience of God, I think we ought to stop and just repent of our attitudes towards something that God cherishes very dearly and has given as a gift to us. I think we ought to just say, God, I'm sorry that I have neglected or I've abused or I've mocked your gift. This is important to God. Spiritual language. Does anyone have a cough drop, by the way? Just throw it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm going to save these for trick or treat. How about money? Does anyone have money that they want to throw in this? Just kidding. Okay. Thank you. So as we jump into this message, with that framework, let me give you my thinking about it. And we're gonna talk about the theology of it in a moment, but let me just give you my thinking about speaking in tongues and how I'm going to approach this message or this topic. So let me give you four or five more things. Number one is that I am not going to demand that you agree with me on this. I'm not going to demand that you buy my company line about speaking in tongues. There are a lot of differing opinions about this. I mean, there are wonderful theologians and pastors of integrity and, you know, teachers of the Word of God that see this differently. We're not in unanimity on this, obviously, in the body of Christ around the world. And when that happens, we call these things disputable matters. And when there is disputable matters, then we need to offer one another a lot of grace and a lot of love and a wide berth. Okay, so we're not going to get dogmatic about this. So I'm not going to demand that you agree with me on this. My goal is simply open minds and willing hearts. I hope that by the end of this message today, that if you aren't a tongue speaker, if you don't believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit the way I do, I hope that you would just say, God, I want to have an open mind about this. And I want my heart to be so sensitive and willing before you. God, I want what you want. I want everything that you have for me. That is my goal in this message today. Number two, I am not going to force you to speak in tongues. So just relax. Some of you are like sitting near the exits and your key is in your hand and you're just kind of looking for that moment where if it gets weird, you're out of here. It's not going to get weird today. So just relax. You don't have to worry about that. I will not force you ever, ever, ever to speak in tongues. And anyone who pressures you theologically about that, or if anyone ever tries to forcefully pray over you to get the baptism of the Spirit with speaking in tongues. Have you ever, some of you have seen this, right? Where it's like if they could, they would reach into your mouth and grab your tongue and wiggle it and say something. They're so forceful about this. They so want this for you, and they're well-intentioned, but they're wrong-headed about it. You know, when the Holy Spirit is forced upon someone, that is not of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He only comes by invitation. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the holy dove? And so we will never, ever force you into it. I know some people have told me that that's happened to them. They're very open to it. They want the Holy Spirit. They want the experience of speaking in tongues. And they said, I just have been overwhelmed by people trying to pray me into it. If you do that, just don't. You don't have to. These people in the book of Acts that we just read about, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The apostles didn't come upon them. The deacons didn't come upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And the result of that was they spoke in an unknown language. So we're not going to force you to speak in tongues. Number three, Portland Christian Center will be a church that embraces those who speak in tongues and those who don't. We will fully embrace you if you speak in tongues, and we will fully embrace you if you don't. And if you don't, I'm just going to assume that you're here and you're on a journey of discovery with God. And in His time and in His way, as you open your mind and offer your heart, you will experience what He has for you. So we fully, fully embrace you. Now, for those of you, number four, for those of you who do speak in tongues, here's what I want to say. That speaking in tongues is not a status symbol. I've run into a lot of Pentecostals who kind of wore it as a badge of honor. It was like tongues was their brownie button, the Boy Scout award. You know, I got speaking in tongues, and I'm a superior Christian. No, they didn't say as much, but that was kind of the output or the outcome of their attitude toward it. So it is not a status symbol, nor is it a substitute for spiritual growth. It's the catalyst for spiritual growth. If you speak in tongues, when you speak in tongues, that's just the beginning. It's another enablement to experience all that God has for you in your Christian journey. So if you have this experience, it doesn't mean you have arrived. It's not the case at all. I've met a lot of insufferable, immature tongue speakers over the years. They were far from mature. Love, not tongues, love is the benchmark of a vibrant spirituality. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13. You can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can do all kinds of miracles, but if you do not have love, you're nothing. You're just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. So love is the hallmark of vibrant spirituality. So that's for tongue speakers. If you don't speak in tongues, I want you to know this. In no way are you second class. I don't want you to feel that way. If you've been made to feel that way, I want to just offer an apology for whoever made you feel that way. I've talked to people this way that shared that with me, that there were those that said, well, if you don't have it, you just haven't arrived yet. You can't grow in Christ if you don't have this. Your eternal security is in danger if you don't speak in tongues. Not true at all. You've been led to feel that way, and that was wrong. That was hurtful to you. And on the behalf of those who communicated that to you, I want to say as a pastor, I am sorry. Let me apologize. I am sorry for that. Give the Holy Spirit a second chance. That was not of the Holy Spirit. If anyone ever comes to you and says, you got to have the Holy Spirit to be saved or to get to heaven, you have my permission to say, you're a heretic, because that's not the Bible. That's not God. That is not the Holy Spirit. So, having said all of that, having looked at the four-part framework, and having looked at these four or five things that your pastor thinks about speaking in tongues before we launch into it, let me just ask you this. Are we all clear on that? Say, sir, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. No, you don't have to do that. You want to make sure we're all clear on that. Because if we don't get clear on that, we can't really fully grasp and embrace the doctrine of speaking in tongues the way the Lord wants us to. So now that we're all clear on that, let's launch into it. And I want to do this morning by answering three questions, by asking and answering three questions about speaking in tongues. So here's the first question. What is the purpose of tongues and how should it operate in the church? What's the purpose of tongues and how should it operate when the body of Christ comes together in the life of Christians as they live out their faith? Well, as I see it, my understanding of the Bible, the New Testament teaching on this, tongues has two functional purposes. Tongues has two functional purposes. What I would call, number one, the grace of tongues, and number two, what I would call the gift of tongues. The grace of tongues and the gift of tongues. The grace of tongues manifests itself through spirit baptism for prayer, for praise, and for spiritual warfare. And it is for private use, not public use. It's spiritual language for private use, not public use. I think this is what Paul was speaking of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, when he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, let me just pause here to say that the most comprehensive teaching on speaking in tongues is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Yes, even chapter 13, the love chapter, has to do with speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts, where Paul says, if you don't have love, you miss the point. So this is the most comprehensive teaching in the Bible on tongues. And as Paul gets toward the end of that teaching, and he was talking to a Corinthian church that was noted for its use of tongues in the public gatherings. And he was having to issue some correction to them. But he said, nevertheless, even though you're misusing tongues, you misunderstand tongues, I still thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, I don't think he was bragging, saying, I do it more than you do, so I'm more spiritual than you. I think he was just saying, I do it all the time. I speak in tongues in my private life all the time. I thank God that I have this gift that flows effusively, this grace that flows effusively in my times of private prayer. Thank God for that. And I would say the same thing about, you know, about me. I thank God that I speak in tongues all the time in my private prayer life. Now, I don't have the gift of tongues and interpretation. You will probably never hear me give you a message in tongues from this pulpit. That's just not my gift. But I rely on my prayer language, my spiritual language, all the time in my private life. You know, about 40 years ago, I came into that experience where I was just seeking the fullness of God. I asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came on me when I was about 19, 20 years old, and I began to speak in an unknown language, and it literally changed my life. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't use my spiritual language to pray and to praise and to do warfare and to magnify God. It is so healing, so strengthening, so wonderful to me. I love this experience. And I want you to look at my life and say, if he has it and if it's done that for him, I want that too in my life. I thank God that I speak in tongues all the time. So Paul says that he thanks God that tongues are an effusive part of his life. And then he also defined the purpose of tongues, and he clarified the use of tongues 10 verses later in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28. This is what he said. He said, if there's no interpreter, he's speaking about a person who gives a message in tongue in the body gathered. He said, then the speaker, the one who's speaking in tongues, should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. If there's no one there to interpret the message, then you should just hold your tongue. Just sit on it. Just talk to God about it. You're speaking to God and you're speaking to yourself. So the grace of tongues is for private use, not public. And it is you talking to God in the language of heaven. It's you talking to God in an angelic language. And that's way cool. But even cooler than that is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Notice what he says. He says that it's God, when you speak in tongues, it's actually God praying to himself through you. As the Spirit enables you to speak in a heavenly language, you are praying the will of God through the Spirit who searches the mind of God and searches your own heart and lifts it all up to God in the language of heaven, spiritual language. Notice what he says. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Or through groans, some texts say, through groans that cannot be uttered. They're inaudible. They're inarticulate. That they're spiritual groans. Now, what's interesting there is the word for wordless groans in the Greek is alaletos, alaletos. Now, that's significant because the term speaking in tongues is called glossolalia. Now, that's the theological term as well that we use for speaking in tongues, glossolalia. Glossos in the Greek means tongues or tongue, language. And laleo means I speak, it's to speak. So tongues and I speak in tongues. So some would say that Paul is not talking about speaking in tongues right here, but he uses the same word. It's the same connected word, alaletos. And he says, the Spirit prays through us in these unknown languages. So what does he do when the Spirit is praying through us through these groans, these wordless groans? The next verse, verse 27, he intercedes for us according to God's will. Now that is very cool, isn't it? Have you ever been at a point in your prayer time where you don't know what to pray? You just run out of words. You just run out of thought. You just don't know, what do I do next? You know you need to pray, but you don't know how. Paul says the Holy Spirit kicks in, and he prays in your spiritual language through you to God, the mind and the heart and the will of God. He intercedes for us. That's the beauty of spiritual language. That is the grace of tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is something else. It manifests itself for the purpose of giving an exhortation or a prophecy in the public gathering of the church. This is when the church comes together. This is public. This is what the gift of tongues is for. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 is referring to this public tongue when it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, and one at a time, and someone must interpret. Then he says, in that same verse, on down through verse 33, he says, this is the purpose and this is the function. These are the guidelines for that, for the public use of that gift. in verses 27 and 31. He says, it is to edify the whole church through instruction and encouragement. If you ever hear a message in tongues with an interpretation and it's not edifying, then it's off base. It is to edify. It is to build up. That's what the word means. It is to build up the body of Christ. It's to come in the form of an encouragement, of an exhortation, of this is what God is going to do among us. It's to encourage the body of Christ. Verse 27 says, it's never to be used more than two or three times. At the most. Paul says there's got to be some order to this. And so when you come together, you shouldn't have like 10 or 20 of these. Which apparently was what was happening in the Corinthian church. I've been in churches where they do that. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's they're off base with what they're saying. But Paul says this is limited. Because if you don't limit it, it will get out of hand and it won't be orderly. So it's never to be used more than two or three times in a service or in a gathering. Verse 28 says it's always, always, always to be interpreted. This is the one gift that goes with another, speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. It has to be interpreted. Then here's another one, verse 29. When that message is given, tongues and interpretation, when the message is given, it is to be carefully considered. Carefully considered. You know, from time to time, here in the body of Christ gathered in a service, you will hear a message in tongues and in interpretation, or you will hear a prophetic word that is given. Not all the time, but sometimes we have that. And what Paul is saying is when you hear that, you need to sit up and take notice and really weigh what God is saying to you and to the church in that moment. I think sometimes, you know, we hear a message like that and we go, okay, when church is going to get over, I got to get on to other things. Paul says, don't do that. God is speaking to you. And the word he uses there for weigh carefully is diakrino, diakrino. From that, we get the word judgment. Krino means to judge. Dia, or dia, means with judgment. You know, one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible is the one where Jesus said, don't judge. And so out of that, people say, well, Christians are not to judge. That's not true. What Jesus was saying is don't be judgmental. But we're to make judgments all the time. We are to discern. We are to discriminate. When a message comes forth, when this message is coming forth to you, you are to weigh carefully. You're to discern, discriminate, judge whether this is practical or just lofty theory. You're to determine whether it's sinful or whether it's holy. You're to determine whether it's practical or just theological. You're to determine whether that is eternal or this is temporal. We are to make judgments all the time about what we learn, what we hear in the body of Christ. When a message in tongues and interpretation comes forth, Paul says, weigh carefully. Consider what has been said. And then here's the last one. It is never to be unruly. The speaker has control over whether to use the gift or not. We see that in verses 32 and 33, because God is a God of order. If you ever go into a church service and it is wild and crazy and out of order, something's not right. A lot of people would say, well, that's because they're very spiritual. Not at all. Not at all. Very spiritual people sometimes say, I'm not going to do this right now because there's already been two or three of these and I'm just going to hold this. God doesn't want anything to cause disruption or chaos in the body of Christ. He wants everything to be done decently and in order. So Paul lays these ground rules for the use of the gift of tongues. So there's the grace of tongues, which is for our private life, and there's the gift of tongues with interpretation that certain people in the church have been gifted by God to use as a way to edify the body of Christ. So that's both the function and the purpose of the gift and the grace of tongues. So here's the second question. Do I have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit? Do I have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit? Well, I would respond to that by just saying this. I hope that you would want to. I mean, when you think of everything that we've said so far, when you think of the importance of tongues to God, when you think of the purpose and the function of tongues, I just hope that you would want to experience this. It just makes sense that we would desire this special dimension of the Holy Spirit that God has provided for us. Because Jesus said it was one of the signs that would testify to his presence and his power in your life. And I hope that you would want to, because tongues, speaking in tongues, was the birthmark of the first church. So why wouldn't we want it as our birthmark as well? Why wouldn't we? I hope that you would. Who are we to diminish what Jesus and the apostles embrace as the physical sign of Spirit baptism? You know, why would we distance ourselves from that? The physical sign of Spirit baptism. In Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46, Peter, in speaking to the Gentile Christians, he attributes speaking in tongues as evidence that the Spirit had fallen upon those people as well as the Jewish Christians from which the church got its start. So the church jumped outside of the Jewish faith, Jewish Christians, and began to make inroads into the Gentile community. And when Peter went to talk to some of these and he prayed for them, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit baptized them. And this is what Paul says, what it says about Peter, verses 45 and 46. It says that he was amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for he heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I mean, it's pretty clear from the historical record of the early church that tongues was primary physical evidence of baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you claim to be Spirit-filled without speaking in tongues, you know what I'm going to say to you? Okay. If that works for you, okay. I'm not going to argue theology with you. I'm not going to let dogmatism divide us. If you believe that you're filled with the Spirit and you haven't spoken in tongues, then yay you. Embrace it. Go for it. And just be all that God wants you to be. Because, again, the true evidence of your Spirit baptism or your Spirit infilling isn't tongues or the lack of tongues. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, if you're growing in the fruit of the Spirit, there's a good chance that you've been baptized in the Spirit. You've been filled with the Spirit. So if you don't speak in tongues, but you claim to be Spirit-filled and you have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in you, yeah, great, go for it. If you speak in tongues, but don't have the fruit of the Spirit growing in you, then something's wrong. Go back and get filled again. So I'm not going to make this a matter of argument. I don't think it's worth it. I happen to believe that it's a primary physical evidence of Spirit baptism. But if you experience the Holy Spirit in another way, then great. Be filled with the Spirit. By whatever means, be filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's just no question that spiritual language is a key to deepening dimensions of the Spirit's miraculous work in our lives. There's just no question. And that a believer speaks with other tongues as the Spirit enables them is truly, truly miraculous. At the day of Pentecost, God literally put a miracle on the tongues of these believers. Speaking in tongues transformed their natural abilities to speak into the language of heaven that exalted the wonders of God. It was a miracle. Acts 2:11 says, other people listening to these people speaking in tongues, and they in this case, they happened to be speaking in the native language of travelers who had come from around the known world, the Roman Empire, to be there for the Feast of Pentecost. And so some of these foreigners heard these Jewish Christians now speaking with other tongues, speaking in their own native language. And what were they speaking? They were declaring the wonders of God. Now, I never cease to be amazed at this miracle every time I speak in my spiritual language. To me, this is a miracle, and it truly is. This is a miracle of God. I've heard some of you ask me, well, why don't we have miracles in America today? Why don't we see more miracles in our church? Listen, a miracle is closer than the nose on your face. It's in your tongue. When you speak in spiritual language, as the Spirit enables you, that is a miracle. God the Spirit praying and declaring the wonders of God, expressing the mind, the will, the heart of God through you, through me, that is a miracle. That's the ongoing miracle every day in my life. That's the beauty of spiritual language. And I want you to see that in me so powerfully that you would say, man, I want what he has. You see, what the Holy Spirit has done in us, evidenced through speaking in tongues, is the most powerful apologetic for speaking in tongues. If you see in me something that you desire, a deepness in the Word, a closeness to God, a power that you don't have. And you say, what is that? I want some of that. I hope that I would be able to say to you, well, it's because I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my spiritual language has opened up these dimensions with God that you too can have. Do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit? I don't know, but why not? Why not? When you see how important it is to God. Last question. We'll close with this. After all of that, the doctrine, the purpose, the ground rules for speaking in tongues, you still might be saying, but isn't speaking in tongues weird? And maybe you're going, yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying, but isn't it kind of weird? Well, yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, it is. You know, when I'm speaking in my spiritual language, sometimes I'll just stop and go, that's weird. It just seems weird. It is. It's weird in a way, but it's not irrational. It might be weird, but it's not irrational. Now, it's not rational, but it's not irrational. It's supra-rational. I'm not sure that's a word, but it's supra-rational. It's above rationality. It's us infinite people trying to grasp the infinite God and what he gives to us to bring us closer to him. It's mysterious. At the end of the day, I could preach for 8 weeks on speaking in tongues, and it would still, as wonderful as I could handle that and reveal that to you, unfold that to you, it would still remain in the realm of the mysterious. It's a mystery. But so are many other things that we accept by faith. I mean, how about the Trinity? I mean, isn't that a bit mysterious? Anyone want to stand up here and describe, explain the Trinity to the rest of us? I mean, it's mysterious. How about the God-man nature of Jesus Christ? Isn't that mysterious? How could Jesus be fully God and fully man at the same time? It's mysterious. I mean, how about the fact that Jesus emptied himself of his God-like powers and assume the role of, how did Jesus empty himself? It's mysterious. How about the virgin birth? That's mysterious. How about the resurrection? You know, we celebrate that all the time, but it's a mystery. It really is. I mean, we embrace it, but it's a mystery. How about the rapture of the church? I mean, don't we embrace that? Aren't you hoping that it happens before the tribulation? I am. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. There's some things that are mysterious about God. We fully embrace mystery without fully understanding it. And you have to if you're going to fully embrace God. There's part of God that we'll never fully grasp, part of the mystery, the wonder of God. In fact, I don't think that I would want to follow a God that I can totally explain. I think we need a little bit of mystery. And this is, in this case, we have some of it. But I have seen enough evidence to know that this mysterious gift called the gift of speaking in tongues is not just the emotional conjuring of the hyper-spiritual. It's miraculous and it's real. And I wish I had till 2 o'clock today to talk to you about some of the miraculous cases that I've been a part of where I know that was a miracle of God when someone spoke in tongues. I've seen too much of that to say that it's not anything but miraculous and from God. Some of you have heard me talk about my mentor, dear friend Charles Blair, man that I love dearly. Went to be with Jesus a few years ago at 89 years of age. He got saved in his late teens in Enid, Oklahoma. And he didn't come from a Christian background, a faith tradition at all. Just a totally secular, godless family. And he came to know Jesus. He got saved in Enid, Oklahoma in an Assembly of God church. And in the 1930s, in Enid, Oklahoma, in Assembly of God church, if you accepted Jesus, you were going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you were going to speak in tongues. And he did. He experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it literally changed his life and the direction of his life. And when he got saved and filled with the Spirit, he began to share his faith with his family. And he led his brother, Bob, to Christ. And he led his sister, Bertha, to Christ. And then he led his mother to Jesus. And the last holdout was his father. And he led his father to Jesus Christ as well. And his father was so radically saved that he said, I want what my son has. I want what my wife and all my children have now. I want the Holy Spirit in my life as well. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so for some reason, he just wasn't able to pray through and to receive this experience of being baptized in the Spirit. And he was just so desperate for God. And one night, on a Sunday night service, after the preacher had preached a stem winder of a sermon, invited people down to the altar, there came Charles's dad, and he knelt at that altar, the mourner's bench, as they called it, and he began to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Charles came down, and he stood by his dad, and he laid his hands on him that he would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And his father began to speak in a halting, unlearned language. Charles said it sounded like a Native American language, poorly done. He said it was halting, it was kind of the rhythmic chanting, and it just was, there was no vocabulary to it. It was just kind of a groanings that cannot be uttered kind of a thing. And Charles said as he was listening and praying for his father, he said he found himself really embarrassed about what a poor job of speaking in tongues this was. He said it was just awful, it just sounded horrible. It's kind of a sound. And as he's doing this, Charles said, from the back door of the church, it bursts open, and in walks a drunken Native American. Loud, disruptive, walks down to the front of the auditorium, the church, and he says, I need to get saved. I got to get my life to Jesus. And he kneels down beside Charles's father. And suddenly he looks over and he goes, he's speaking perfect Cherokee. And the man got saved and sobered all in the same moment and gave glory to Jesus because of it. I could tell you story after story after story of stuff like that. This is real, friends. It's miraculous. And it's the gift of God to you. So here's how I want to end this service. I told you I'm not going to force you to speak in tongues, and I'm not going to do that. But I just want to encourage you to open your mind and offer an eager heart to the possibility of tongues. And as you do that, God will reveal to you sooner or later the beauty of spiritual language, and it will change your life. It might happen before you leave this place today. It might happen on the way home. It might happen tonight when you're lying on the bed and praying and praising God. It might happen next week. By the way, on the pastor circle on Wednesday, we're going to talk more about the mechanics of being filled with the Spirit and having a spiritual language. So come at 6 o'clock if you want to be prayed for. It might happen next. I don't know when it's going to happen. That's up to God and you. It's not my timing. It's not how. It's the Holy Spirit who will baptize you and give you that language. I just simply say this, open your heart to all that God has for you in the Holy Spirit, and he will give you everything that he has, and it'll change your life. Let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.